Just coming up to the Christmas period, I'd like to talk about some, well, we can talk about, in fact, some Christmas traditions. And I'll talk about one that you may have heard about, but you will probably know what is derived from this. Something called wassailing. Have you ever heard of wassailing?
No, I
Oh,
haven't.
well, there you go.
I'm actually pretty up on Christmas.
Okay. Wassailing, in fact, is something which is done in Somerset, probably in Devon, probably in Cornwall, maybe in Gloucestershire as well, maybe in Herefordshire, maybe in Dorset. Basically, it's the southwest of England. And wassailing, actually, it's a strange word. It comes from the Old English, which is was to hail, and it means be thou hale. Yes, you've heard of hale and hearty. So what it means is be in good health. And what happens is people go to the houses and they say wassail, and the response to this, okay, is drink a hail, which is drink and be healthy.
Drink
Okay.
hail.
Yeah. And what happens is then the person gives the people that come around, the wassailers, gives them a drink, which is normally a spiced cider called mulled cider, hot spiced cider, and maybe some mince pies and stuff like this. And they will sing the wassailing song. But there are two versions. One is the people go into the house. And the second version is the wassailing, where they bless the apple trees for more apples the next year, and they chase the evil spirits away from the orchard so that they can have lots of apples for cider in the next year. And it's actually it's done after Christmas normally. It's done on Twelfth Night, which is about the 6th of January, I think. And there's one which is quite famous, which is on the 17th of January. However, a derivative of this is where we think carol singing came from. Okay, so people come around to houses singing Christmas carols. It comes from the wassailing.
And have you ever done wassailing
No,
yourself?
I've seen it done. I've seen it done in the orchards. It's a very pagan type of thing. And they bless the oldest tree in the orchard because that is the fertility of the orchard, et cetera, et cetera. And also what happened as well is that the nobles gave the local peasants presents, or wasn't much presents, but it's food and stuff like this, and drink during this wassailing period. So that's one tradition, if you like, definitely in the southwest, and not many other people know this, probably out of the southwest. Did you know that Father Christmas was once in a green suit, not the red suit that we see him now?
Well, I have to say, on a quiz or two, I've actually answered that correctly, but I wouldn't know why.
Okay, well, we know him dressed how?
Red suit.
And
Boot, black boots and a white beard.
exactly. And in fact, what it is, before it was, it's a little bit pagan as well, I guess, is that it was he was in a green suit. The red tunic and the long beard is actually after the Bishop of Myra. Now, I've actually been here. It's Myra is in Turkey. It's the Church of Saint Nicholas, and this is where Saint Nicholas came from. And why we got the red is because Saint Nicholas used to go around giving presents of food, et cetera, to the poor. He had his red robes, his red bishop robes, and he had a big long white beard as well,
Okay.
because
I
it would
mean,
have been
could you put a date
Greek
on this?
Orthodox.
Could you put a date on this?
Probably about 13th century, something like that. I don't know. Maybe you have to check that out, but you have to check it out. But what he used to do as well, and this is where another sort of tradition comes in, is because he was like, he didn't want to be known as this big benefactor, he used to put money down the chimneys of poor people. And obviously, they weren't very high houses
Going to say, yeah, although
at
he was
the
very
time.
athletic,
Yeah,
yeah.
but they weren't high houses. They were one story, et
Okay.
cetera. And he used to drop the money in. And the people used to put a stocking, in fact, to catch the money in the fireplace. So here we see where the idea of putting a stocking up and the idea of Father Christmas coming down the chimney, et cetera, comes from. Now, if I say Yule log, what does that mean to you?
Well, a Yule log is a type of cake, I think.
Exactly. It's a type of chocolate sponge rolled to look like a log of wood.
Absolutely. Delicious.
Okay, going back to Somerset in the deepest southwest of England, in Somerset, they use, because Yule log actually is Scandinavian, and it's supposed to be a log which is burnt during the Christmas period, and it's a big, big log, and nobody can do any work while this is burning. We've made a derivative in Somerset, which is what we call the ashen faggot. Now, a faggot is generally, is two things really, is like a meat type of ball, but it's also, it's a bunch of wood.
Yeah, I thought it was a bunch of wood, yeah.
Exactly, and that's what it is. It's a bunch of wood tied with nine lengths of ash, and it is burnt on Christmas Eve in Somerset while people drink cider, of course, sing songs and dance.
Sorry, Chris, an ash being a type of tree.
Ash is type of tree, yeah. And it's called the ashen faggot. And they sing and they dance while this is burning in the fireplace. Do you know about mince pies?
Well, I know they're pretty tasty. That's what I know about them.
Do you know when we eat them and why, etc.?
Well, we eat them at Christmas. That was the easy answer. Why we eat them? I suppose they contain a rich mixture of ingredients that were maybe left over from something and had to be put in a pie. Am I completely wrong?
A little bit, yeah. In fact, mince pies were to be eaten one a day from between Christmas Day and January the 6th, which is Twelfth Night.
Yeah.
And in fact, I don't know whether it's the same where you come from in the UK, but where I come from, it's bad luck to refuse a mince pie. It doesn't matter if you've eaten 20 before in that day. You still, if you're offered a mince pie, you will eat it. You will take it and you will eat it. It's very, very bad luck.
It's bad luck, but it's definitely rude.
Exactly. Now, the mince pies that they eat, because in fact, we call it mince meat, and it's not meat at all. It's actually fruit and spices and stuff. But in the sort of before the 19th century, it was actually filled with meat and spices, and it gradually got turned into this fruit pie. In fact, at the time, this would have been too much of a luxury for people. Yeah.
So and also, I know that the fruit pie, as you call it, it does contain a bit of beef suet or something.
It should contain a bit of beef suet, yeah, for some reason, because that seems strange, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does very.
Yeah. But anyway, so it's beef fat. What about nativity plays? Tell me about nativity plays.
Something that the parents like to watch at Christmas when they go to the children's school.
Well, who does the nativity play? Sorry? Who does the nativity play?
Well, it's children who do it. And they tell the story of the birth of Jesus.
Okay.
With shepherds in a manger and following a star and wise men.
Okay. What about pantomime?
Oh, okay. Well, pantomime is good fun. Pantomime is a tradition where, it could be a children's story like Puss in Boots or Cinderella. And what's good about it is that the leading man is a woman, and in the story there's always an ugly sister or an aunt, and that's always a man.
Do you know why?
Well, they're pretty gender fluid. I don't know why. No.
Okay, that's like 21st century language, that.
Yes, I'm sorry, I've been a bit modern there, sorry.
In fact, it goes back to the role reversal, which was used in pagan times, where masters played servants, where women played men, men played women, and children played parents. So that's where it comes from. When do you think the pantomime dates from? What sort of century?
I'm going to say perhaps Shakespeare's time, something, I don't know, 15 something.
It dates from the 1500s, yeah? So it's quite an old thing.
I must be spot on that. Yeah, good. Yeah,
there you go. What about mistletoe? Tell me about mistletoe.
Oh,
what
well, mistletoe do we do with mistletoe? I know that it's a parasite that lives in trees, and it can kill a tree. But we use it as a decoration in a house at Christmas, white berries, a few red berries. And the tradition is that we kiss somebody under the mistletoe.
Exactly. And where does that come from?
The tradition?
Hmm.
Oh, I'm going to say Scandinavia. That's the kind of thing they do up there.
And in fact, I've done a little bit of research on this.
Yeah.
And it was actually, it goes back to Roman times. And it was, in fact, when you had two enemies, they were brought together underneath a mistletoe growing on a tree, because it's a plant. It is a parasite, but it's a parasitic plant growing under that tree. And then they had to forget their grief and conflict and shake hands. And that was it. They didn't kiss or anything. But that has sort of gone into that. So it goes from Roman times. That's, it's an old thing.
Interesting.
What about crackers?
The next time someone wants to kiss me, I'll say just shake my hand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you have to now anyway. Bent fists. What about crackers? Tell us about crackers.
Oh, I love a cracker. I love a Christmas cracker. And everybody in England has a cracker on Christmas Day.
Why?
Why?
Hmm.
Well, I suppose if I'm thinking historically, there may have been a cheap way to have presents at the table, because the cracker is made of paper, and inside is a tube with some little, I'm going to call presents, a bit of tat these days, but a present and a joke and a hat, which is a crown.
Yes.
It's paper, a paper yeah. hat.
And where do you think crackers date back to?
Oh, I don't know. When Christmas became quite popular, I'm going to say like 1840, something like this.
You're probably not too far wrong. In fact, it was a big marketing thing. And crackers were invented by a baker in London in the mid-1800s. Oh. Yeah, so there's no real big tradition. He just did this to be able to sell them and also to sell his cakes and puddings and whatever. Oh. And now, just one more, you know, big, big tradition in the UK. Tell us about the Queen's speech.
Oh, I'm always keen on that. Okay, so the Queen speaks, which has a speech, at 3 o'clock British time on Christmas Day. And she sits usually in front of a great big Christmas tree, which is all shiny. And she has photographs of her family. And she'll say things like, my family and I, we want to wish you merry Christmas.
We don't do impersonations of the Queen.
Okay, sorry. And especially when it's a bad impersonation.
Yeah.
No, anyway, and she'll go over the year's events, and she'll give us a bit of a sort of morale boost and say,
how's she going to boost the morale after 2020?
Yeah, I'd like to know what she's going to say this year. Mm. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. So we've got some of the big...
What's the tradition of that?
I don't know if it's the Queen started it. I think with radio, so it would have been George the Fifth or something like this.
I'm going to correct you. It was her father who started it.
But George the Sixth then?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I said.
Oh, did you?
Hmm. Anyway, you can correct me, because I did say George the Fifth, I think. But anyway, yeah. Okay, do you have any others to add? Because I have two surprising facts.
Well, what about a Christmas card,
okay,
which you haven't sent me yet?
No.
Nothing on Christmas cards?
No, it's a fairly recent type of thing, isn't it? In the UK, it's much more popular than it is in France.
Okay, what about a Christmas tree?
Okay, you know about that, though, don't you?
Yeah, but, you know, you can tell me and I'll correct you.
I mean, okay, well, so I'll try. It's probably... and probably not verifiable, but it was probably started by Prince Albert, who was Queen Victoria's consort, in probably the late 1800s, mid to late 1800s.
That's exactly what I know as well.
Yeah.
And he's German, of course, and, well, Saxon.
Mm.
And that's what they liked. So yeah. that was a good tradition. We love Christmas trees now.
Mm-hmm. We do.
What about the star on a Christmas tree?
Ah. Would that be? Ah, it may be quite topical for the day. In fact, it's probably the star of Bethlehem, as we say, which was, is it Andromeda and Sirius that are crossing to make one big star? It's the one that's crossing now, anyway.
Jupiter and Saturn or something.
Yeah, whichever it is. But those two stars, they make it look a big star. And it could have been what was called the Star of Bethlehem, which was over the birthplace of... allegedly, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Okay. Right then. I'm going to give you two facts which you may not know. Did you know that Christmas was illegal for 13 years?
In Britain?
Yeah.
I did, actually.
You did? Tell me about him.
Oh, Oliver Cromwell.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Puritan.
Mm-hmm.
So a bit of a sourpuss all around, really. And he didn't really care for merriment. And so he kind of banned Christmas.
He did, from 1647 to 1660.
Well, I wasn't sure of the exact dates.
Okay, well, it was true. There you go. And as soon as he lost power, Christmas came back.
Great.
Probably under a hugely different guise than it is today. And another one is that there is an act which is called the Holy Days and Fasting Act of 1551, which is still valid today. And it states that every citizen of Great Britain must attend church on Christmas Day and not use any form of vehicle. There right. You go.
Well, that's gone out the window.
It certainly has. But in fact, it's quite surprising that there are a lot of people that do still go to church on Christmas Day. And I don't know if you ever go, you've ever been, but there's a midnight mass, which is on the Christmas Eve at midnight. That is generally, it's totally, totally rammed. The church is full. And I remember going once, and I think we had to get tickets to it. The tickets were free, I think, but yeah, it was just to make sure that there was enough places, and that was in Wells Cathedral.
And it's interesting what you say about being, I'm not a big church goer, but I have been on Christmas Day, and I always walked.
Ah, there you go. So you cannot be fined about this Holy Days and Fasting Act of 1551.
Good. Oof, that's a relief.
No fine coming your way. Well, thank you very much. All it remains to wish our readers, listeners, or whatever, a very Merry Christmas, and Merry Christmas to you as well.
And also Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Happy Christmas.
Thank you.